China's factory activity shrank unexpectedly in October. That's no thanks to softening global demand and strict domestic COVID-19 curbs, which hit production, travel and shipping in the world's second largest economy. Economists say slowing exports, a distressed property market and the yuan's weakness against the US dollar also weighed on the outlook for China.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about China. Now, China is really important for a number of reasons to the global economy. Firstly, it's the second biggest economy in the world. In 2021, total GDP for China was 17.7 trillion. Now, that represents round about 18% of the total global GDP. And to put the size and importance of China into perspective, the USA is currently the biggest economy in the world, and it delivered around $23 trillion of GDP in 2021. Number three on the list is Japan, which achieved $4.9 trillion. Number four on the list is Germany, that came in at $4.2 trillion. And number five is the UK, that came in at $3.2 trillion. And the combined GDP of the whole of Europe in 2021 was 14.5 trillion. So China is bigger than all of the countries of Europe combined and is almost the same size as Europe plus Japan. And of course, China is still growing rapidly. And as I've mentioned before on the channel, the whole world is interconnected. So as China grows, it will be buying more things from all of the rest of the countries in the world because it doesn't make everything itself. It does buy in various components and parts and raw materials. And also, it will be selling things to all of the rest of the world. So it's important to world business that China is doing well. So that's why I really want to focus in today. It's not just looking at China for China's sake and seeing what's going on and wondering whether or not they're going into recession. This is important because it will have a huge knock-on impact to the rest of the world and vice versa. As the rest of the world slows down, as we're seeing now, it's having a disproportionate impact on China because China is manufacturing things for everybody else. So as global demand slows, that means that China is selling less products and its economy slows at a faster rate. So in today's episode, we'll have a full update on what's going on. We'll look at the level of exports and imports for October. I'll then look at the Purchasing Managers Index. Now, this is something that I've mentioned a number of times before on the channel. But in today's episode, I'll give you a bit more detail on what that actually means and why it's important to all economies, but particularly for China. We'll then have a look at what's going on in the property sector, because that's a really important part of the Chinese economy. What's going on with regards to bank lending? What's happening with COVID? Because COVID is still a massive issue for China. Hundreds of millions of people right now are still being impacted by lockdowns in China, and that's having a knock-on impact to the economy. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months for China and what the impact of that will be on the global economy. So before we get started on that, as usual, I'm going to ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you can find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. And once again, thank you so much to everybody that has supported me. China's exports and imports both simultaneously fell in October, which is the first time that that's happened since May 2020, which was the heart of the COVID-19 pandemic globally. The October data suggests that demand remains frail overall, both globally and within China. And analysts are now very pessimistic about the prospects for China over the next few months. This chart shows the percentage movements in China's exports over the last 12 months. And what this shows is that in February, March and April, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, there was a significant drop in exports. And that was really as a result of the global shock as to what was happening. However, China's export growth bounced back in May, June and July, and it looked like things were starting to recover. However, the impact of high energy, food and commodity costs started to impact on the whole of the world from August onwards. And we've seen a dramatic fall in China's exports as the globe has moved towards recession. So in August, we saw a fall in export growth from 17.8% to 7.1%. It then fell further in September to 5.7%. And in October, we've actually got a real fall in exports. So they've contracted by 0.3%. And if you compare that to what was happening 12 months ago, when China was experiencing 21.7% growth, this is a massive shock to the Chinese economy. And this is a really serious problem for China, because China is a net exporter. It produces lots of goods which it exports all around the world. So when we see an actual fall in the volume of exports coming out from China, it sets alarm bells ringing that this is causing major problems for the Chinese economy. And this chart shows the percentage movements in China's imports over the last 12 months. And whilst China is a net exporter, it has a population of 1.4 billion people. So it is also a big consumer. It buys in lots of goods and products and raw materials from every country all around the world. And you can see that in November 2021, the growth in imports was 31.4%. That is massive. However, the growth in imports fell significantly following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And you can see that over the last 8 months, import growth has been minimal. And in most months, it's been less than 1%. And in October, for the first time in the last 12 months, we've now actually got a fall in the volume of imports. So the rest of this graph is showing a slowdown in the growth of imports, but now imports are going into decline. And that's a major concern, not just for China, but also for the rest of the world. Because if they're buying in less goods, that means that all of the companies who are selling into China will be receiving less revenue, and we will get a ripple effect going all around the world of this slowdown. Now, as I mentioned at the start of the video, the Purchasing Managers Index is a key indicator that looks at the health of manufacturing industry within any particular country. And that gives us a strong indicator as to what's going on with regards to the wider economy and whether or not we've got potential problems further down the road. Now, as you'll be aware if you follow the channel, I don't like jargon. I don't like talking about things that people don't understand. And the Purchasing Managers Index is one of these phrases that's thrown around a lot by economists. But I don't think everybody really understands what it is. So to give us a full breakdown, let's hear from our friends at Investopedia.
The Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, is an indicator of the economic health of the manufacturing sector. The Institute for Supply Management, ISM, compiles the PMI each month by surveying purchasing managers in the manufacturing sector across the United States. The PMI is a compilation of information on five key topics relevant to the manufacturing business: production levels, new orders, supplier deliveries, inventories, and employment levels. The survey asks whether business is better, the same, or worse in these five areas. A PMI measurement of 50 indicates a balanced sentiment going forward. In other words, an equal number of respondents are reporting positive and negative results. A measurement above 50 indicates an expansion of the manufacturing sector compared to the previous month. Measurements under 50 indicate a contraction. Economists view the PMI as an important indicator for the economy as a whole, not just the manufacturing industry. This is because manufacturing, while no longer a large part of the economy, is still a leading indicator that predicts recession or expansion. The Institute for Supply Management has been reporting the PMI since 1948.
So basically, this index is a survey of all of the key manufacturing businesses within any particular country. And we're looking at what's going on in those companies and then aggregating all of the feedback to give us a general consensus view as to what the outlook is for the industry. And then we can make assumptions as to whether or not we've got growth or decline in manufacturing. And if the PMI index is coming in above 50, then that means that we've got growth. And if it's coming in below 50, then we've got a decline. And this index is really important for China because manufacturing is one of the biggest parts of its economy. In 2021, manufacturing made up around 27% of total GDP in China. Now, if we compare that to the USA, the USA is around 11%. And for Europe, the figure is around 15%. So the importance of the manufacturing sector in China is more than double what it is in the USA. And this chart shows what's been happening to the index over the last 12 months. And it shows that following Russia's invasion of Ukraine at the end of February, the index fell below 50% in March, April, and May. However, there was a bounce back in June and July as the global economy started to pick up and oil prices started to come back down. However, over the last few months, as we've seen interest rates starting to increase and global GDP starting to come back down, it's now dropped back below 50%. And in October, it's sitting at 49.2%. And because of the importance of manufacturing to China, this is a really concerning statistic. Alongside manufacturing, the property sector is also critically important to the success of China's economy. Over the last 10 years, there has been a boom in the property sector. We have seen millions of apartments being built all across China. And over that period, property has equated to around 25% of China's total GDP. But as I'm sure you'll be aware if you follow the channel, there have been major problems in the property sector over the last few years. The large property development businesses, which had grown using huge amounts of debt, Evergrande is the most indebted company in the world. It has more than $300 billion of debt on its balance sheet, which is an incredible number. All of these companies suddenly had the supply of that debt cut off after the Chinese authorities brought in what they called the three red lines, which were three tests to make sure that none of these companies were over-leveraged. And what they found was that most of them were significantly over-leveraged. And we've now got a situation where many of those companies are unable to find the cash to be able to complete the builds that they've started. A lot of the Chinese population have paid large deposits, and some of these people have paid in full for apartments that haven't even been built yet. So we've now got a major problem that's unfolding, and the Chinese authorities are currently in the process of nationalizing some of these companies, and the whole situation is a complete mess. And if we look at this chart, it shows what's been happening with residential building sales since the start of the Ukraine war. Now, the results that we're looking at here are shown by the green bars, and the line across the top is 0%. So in every single month since February, there has been a significant decline in residential building sales. In February, there's a 22% fall in sales. In March, 25% fall. In April, 32% fall. In May, 35% fall. 32% fall in June and July. 30% fall in August. 28% fall in September. And the figures coming out for October show a 20% fall. So what we're seeing here is a full-blown property crisis, and it doesn't look like there's any end in sight because, as I mentioned earlier, these developers need large amounts of cash to be able to finish the builds that they've started. They can't access that cash. And historically, these companies were able to use the deposits that were coming through for new sales to complete the build from previous projects. But as those new sales have dried up, that's meant that they couldn't continue doing that, and it's causing them a major problem. And this is a big problem for the Chinese economy because they're going to see that portion of their GDP evaporating at the same time as we've got a global slowdown and manufacturing industries are also seeing a big fall in their sales. A lot of the growth that's been seen in China over the course of the last 10 years has been fueled by large amounts of debt being provided by Chinese banks. And alongside the slowdown that we're seeing in the economy, we're now seeing a massive slowdown in bank lending. New bank lending in China tumbled more than expected in October. Chinese banks extended around $85 billion worth of new loans in October, which represents a reduction of around 75% compared with the $340 billion worth of loans provided in September. Corporate loans in October fell to 462 billion yuan versus 1.92 trillion in September. And demand for household mortgages also fell dramatically. So this slowdown in lending activity is a real concern because when a company takes a loan, it usually takes time for the impact of that loan to feed through into its business. So you take the money, you then use that money to either buy things or develop your production facilities. And then over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, you'll see the returns from that investment coming back through. So if companies are taking on less debt, that means that they're investing less into their businesses and therefore the future growth is likely to be slower. In addition to the slowdown in global demand, China is also facing major problems with regards to its COVID policies. As it stands at the moment, China is still operating a zero tolerance policy. So when it sees any cases in an area, it will lock down people in that area. And this is causing major problems for businesses such as Apple, who have major production facilities in China.
Many economists see China's current zero COVID policy as a major economic constraint, but expect restrictions to stay for some time. As of last week, 31 cities have brought in varying levels of lockdowns or district-based control measures, affecting more than 230 million people. Containment measures are reportedly disrupting factory output at iPhone maker Foxconn, with migrant workers seen leaving the massive assembly facility in the COVID-hit city of Zhengzhou amid infection worries.
Apple warned on Sunday that shipments of its newest high-end iPhones would be delayed. That's after production at its main plant in central China was disrupted due to COVID-19. China has been hit by a resurgence of the virus, with nearly 5,500 new cases reported on Monday. The Foxconn factory in Zhengzhou employs 200,000 people and is the world's largest iPhone plant. It has recently been rocked by discontent over stringent measures to curb the spread of the virus. Many workers have fled the site, prompting Foxconn to offer generous bonuses to retain staff. In a statement, Apple said, quote, "The facility is currently operating at significantly reduced capacity. We now expect lower iPhone 14 Pro and iPhone 14 Pro Max shipments than we previously anticipated." Other global firms to be impacted by the COVID curbs include Estee Lauder and Canada Goose. Both have shut their stores in China and cut full-year forecasts. Over the weekend, Beijing doused speculation that it was considering easing its strict zero COVID strategy.
One of the objectives for this channel is to try to relate what's happening in various countries all around the world with your day-to-day life. And I think Apple is a great example of this because most people are familiar with the Apple iPhone and various other Apple products. And a large percentage of Apple products are being produced in China. So when we have problems in the manufacturing sector in China, that means that those companies can produce less iPhones. That's exactly what's happening right now. Apple have issued a warning saying that they won't have as many iPhones as they originally expected. And that has a number of implications. Firstly, from Apple's point of view, they'll be able to sell less product, therefore they will make less revenue, and therefore they'll make less profit, and that could impact on their stock price. But from the consumer's point of view, if demand for Apple iPhones stays strong and we see a reduction in supply, then that means one of two things. Either there will be shortages, so Apple won't have enough product to put onto the shelves, or Apple will have to adjust its prices in the way that every other economy does. If you have excess demand over supply, then the obvious choice is that you can raise the prices to get to a new price level where demand actually falls and everybody's happy. So the bottom line impact here is that what's going on in China will have a real impact on anybody who's interested in buying an Apple iPhone, because there's not going to be as many iPhones as Apple originally forecast to be produced. And therefore, Apple will now have to make a decision as to what they do with the reduced supply levels. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we've been closely following what's going on in China over the course of the last year or so. And what we've seen was that this time last year, the main discussion points were all about the amount of debt that the property development companies had built up. We had these massive companies with humongous amounts of debt, all of which were defaulting on the three red line strategy that had been brought in by the authorities. And everybody was concerned that they were going to default on their global debt obligations, and we could get a global recession caused by the property sector in China. Now, that didn't happen because Russia invaded Ukraine. And all of a sudden, everybody's focus turned away from China onto Ukraine, and we saw the price of oil and food and commodities go sky high as a direct result of the sanctions that were imposed and concerns about global shortages. But the property debt issue in China didn't go away. It just wasn't headline news anymore. People got bored with it and moved on to something else. And China is still trying to cope with that situation. And the reason that it's a major problem is that its GDP has been fueled by the growth of the property sector over the last 10 years or so. so. Property became a no-risk gamble for consumers. If you bought a property in China, it would go up in value and therefore you would feel wealthier. And a lot of people were buying multiple properties off plan. So they were going into these property development companies, buying 2, 3, 4, 10 different apartments, paying for a lot of those in full using debt. So they were able to borrow from the banks, take a big mortgage, give that money over to the developers, and then the developer would go off and happily build those apartments. But unfortunately, when the merry-go-round stopped, when the authorities said, no more, we are introducing the three red lines, the property development companies didn't have enough cash to be able to finish building those apartments, and all of the people who thought that they had a no-risk gamble suddenly realized that they were going to lose large amounts of money. And that's the situation that we're in right now. The authorities are trying to release some cash to some of these companies to carry on with the builds, but most of them are insolvent, and the vast majority of them don't have enough money to complete those builds. So that's a real mess, and that would have caused major problems for the Chinese economy anyway. But what we've got right now is even more concerning, because the heartbeat of the Chinese economy is manufacturing. That's what they do. That's what they are very good at. They have these enormous facilities all around the country, massive manufacturing sites where they have millions of people working. For a lot of workers in China, they relocate from wherever their homeland is to these areas where the manufacturing is going on. They live there for 10 or 11 months of the year, and then they will go home during the New Year celebrations and then come back again. So this is a massive industry, and China is dependent on global growth because they're not producing things just for their own appetite. This is going all around the world. So as we've seen the global economy slowly starting to grind to a halt, as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we've seen demand falling for all of China's products. And what we've seen today from the numbers is that exports have fallen in October, imports have fallen in October, and the Purchasing Managers Index is now below 50. So what that tells us is that the slowdown is now starting to translate into a drop in revenues for China. And this is really bad news for China and also the global economy, because Chinese manufacturers are ahead of the game. Companies all around the world buy goods from China. They're then put onto ships, which take around 6 weeks to get to their destination ports. Those goods are then released from warehouses, taken to the companies who bought them, and those companies then have to sell that product onto the consumers and make their money. So there is a real time delay between what's happening in China in terms of raw manufacturing to what's happening in the shops all around the world when people are buying things. So the fact that we're already seeing a slowdown in the volume of exports coming out of China means that we've already got that global recession starting to feed through, because that means less goods will be sent overseas. All of the companies who are buying less. That means that they will make less profit. And as we go forward over the next 3 to 6 months, it's likely that we'll see further falls in the exports from China, because more companies from all around the world will be buying less. They'll be placing less orders. But all of those companies, because they're buying less goods, they won't be able to sell as many, therefore they won't make as much profit, and everything starts to go into reverse. So I talked about the multiplier effect in a recent video, whereby if somebody is paid $1 of income, when they spend that income, that $1 then becomes income for the company that received it. That company pays its employees then go out and spend their money in other people's stores, and that's how the multiplier effect works. $1 suddenly becomes more than $1 in the whole economy. And that happens in reverse. So if you see a slowdown, if people aren't spending their $1, then all of the companies that were expecting to receive it won't get it. And that means they'll have less profit, and therefore they won't be able to pay their staff. And it's so it goes on. So what we're seeing now is a global slowdown starting, and it's starting right at the source of the manufacturing in China. So this is really bad news for China, but it's also bad news for the global economy. And in the past, China has been able to get itself out of these situations by providing new debt, new bank lending, giving all of its companies access to more capital, which they can use to then invest and grow their businesses. But what we're seeing in China right now is a slowdown in bank lending, and that's likely to make the situation worse, because all of the companies need access to capital to keep developing. And what we saw in the property sector is, as soon as that debt was switched off, all of those companies went into major financial crisis. And we could see a similar thing starting to spread all across China if a lot of the Chinese companies can't access the same amount of debt that they've been accessing historically. So this is another major concern, and we'll see how that pans out over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, whether or not we see a consistent reduction in bank lending. And if we do, then we could see these figures going further south for China. So the overall summary for today's video is very concerning, because up until now, we'd seen a slowdown in growth in China. We were talking about reduced percentage growth. But what we've seen in October is an actual reduction in exports and an actual reduction in imports. So things are actually going into reverse. This isn't a slowdown of growth. This is a contraction of the Chinese economy. And that's very concerning from China's point of view, because the forecasts for China are for year-on-year growth. Nobody's forecasting China to go into recession. It's just the growth will be slower than expected. But what's happening right now is a real surprise, and this has shocked the financial markets. So everybody's now really worried about whether or not China could actually go into recession rather than achieving growth. So we'll have to see what happens over the course of the next few months. But when you look out of the window as to what's happening around the rest of the world, there are very concerning signs, because we're starting to see a lot of economies slowing down, grinding to a halt, going into recession. And those economies are buyers of China's goods. So by definition, if your buyers are slowing down, that means that you're going to slow down. And as the global economy does go into recession, it's going to put a lot of pressure on the Chinese economy. So I'll keep you posted as soon as there's any further news and data coming out from China. Hopefully you found today's episode interesting, thought-provoking and educational. If you've liked what I've said, please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.